Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
So, this morning, I want us to start by looking at Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33, I know it's a very common scripture that we all know. But before we take a look into that scripture, you know, when Pastor was talking yesterday, it was more like the Lord was making the vision, you know, his body clearer to us, making us to see, you know, as I said, it's like God is working from the hand backwards. You understand? You know, you already know the finish. And then you are walking from the end backwards to the beginning. I said that was just the way yesterday actually played out in my heart. You know, towards the end of yesterday's preaching, Pastor was talking about the fact that God wants to raise a people. You know, that it's actually a people that will become the rod. And you know, he said something very, very striking. Though I've always done, I know many of us are also aware, that it's not as if God has not had people that had overcome in former dispensation. People like Paul, people like Peter. If I believe that there are people that we might not know that have walked ahead of us, that overcame. But what is the difference? You know, like he said yesterday, what God is waiting for that needs to be fulfilled is now that God wants that to find expression in a critical mass. A people which refers to as what? The man child company. So God is looking at the company. So it's not as if people have not, there are people that have journeyed with God and they actually overcame. You know, like he showed us yesterday, Paul, Peter, all these people, they journey and they actually inherited in eternal life. But you see, God is not just looking for one person here, one person there, one person. God is looking for a critical mass, because it's actually that critical mass that will actually bring the dragon down under the feet of the church. So there are individuals that have actually worked with God and they actually overcame the dragon. But God, but you know, what will really bring him down, you know, like we say, Revelation is actually a critical mass. Say a critical mass. So eventually when he says that, you know, that actually struck a chord in my heart. That so it's not just about my work. So even if in this generation, if I am able to overcome and a company still has not emerged, this whole thing will still continue. So that really struck me. That what God, so is, God is not just, God is interested in individuals, but much more than individuals. God is interested in a company. Say a company. Yes, God is interested. So it's not just about, you know, for, if you really follow the ministration yesterday, the flow, you will see that was where it ended. So it's not just about overcoming. Yes, God will work individually in all of us, but what is waiting? People have done it, but what has not been done is to have a man-child company emerge in the earth. To see a church of God, you know, we've seen people in church dispensation, individuals, maybe here and there, but God is looking for a critical church. I mean his church. I know he's talking about his church, not one person, it's not one group, you know, a critical mass that will eventually form this man-child company and which will actually bring the dragon down. So that is the will of the Father. Tell him, say, that is the will of the Father. That's the will of the Father for the church. That is his righteousness. And you know, very good enough, during the week, God started teaching me something about his righteousness. And he said, you know, there was an issue that transpired. Okay, notice that my son would call only when he needs something. As you understand, maybe when he needs money, he wants extra money, you know, all those things that are outside his normal pocket money. So he will call. So, and he always uses this tactic. He can call me a day before. I just say, oh, mommy, how are you? I just said I should say hello. I say, and I will feel so, oh my God, that's so touching. This boy is changing. Then the next day, just say, hey, mommy, please. So I just say, this boy, then after he collects it, he's gone for several days. So sometimes when you call him, he feels as if, yeah, I'm not also a very good person with calling. But you know, I just say, yeah, this guy is not even thoughtful. I even had to scold him that he's not been posting church things and all that. So when he wanted to go, I called him like maybe 3 days before. I challenged him. He didn't post. So when he was going to ask me for something the day before, he quickly posted the thing. So, you know, but you know, the thing was actually a little bit annoying though, but you know, but notwithstanding, because, people are coming from Mundo, I started planning for things that I was going to send to him, and I kept calling him, okay, started calculating despite everything. Then when I woke up, and you know, because the day before I was really very annoyed with him that it's only when he was, I told him it's 2000 hours, so he kept calling me every day. So, and every day when he greets, mommy, sure you are good. Oh, the way you are sounding, you're not sounding too, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. Then when he now said, hey, mommy, please don't forget the 2K. So I was really annoyed. And after that, it's because of this 2K that you have been like really pestering my life. So the morning when I woke up and I wanted to pray, God now played that scenario in my heart that, you know, God was just trying to show me the nature of the Father. That many times that is how we relate with him. Like we just more of using. And you know, when we have problems, our prayer will be very intense. We read Bible, we come and everything. And then once you have relief like this, you decide, you jackpot again, and then you come back. And then God showed me another said, but even despite that, that God still is still very benevolent towards us. As in, you see, I was still thinking about him, all the suffering, no light, no this, no water, someone that has not gone through all those things. So I was even thinking of that. I was just looking for a way to really still make things easy for him because I really loved him. You understand? So God showed me that is how God also thinks about us. That he is not even thinking about it. You know, I was even planning, you know, and also how God, you know, God in money was just paying my dad. You know how God really plans, even when we are not, things that we are not even thinking of, that God actually takes thoughts about us. But you know, another thing God told me that I really take thoughts about, and God showed me different areas in which even before things I had actually gone ahead to fix, that he's like that. That even with all our things that we do, that is still very true. So, you know, for me, I had an expectation. There's something I expect that he would from him. There's something that there's a kind of relationship I expect from him. From him being thoughtful about certain things, ask, okay, oh, call, what is happening to you? You know, and what not to say. God told me that I know that many times that we as believers also, that we are very selfish. That we are not concerned so much about what are God's plans, God's will, what does God want to do. As in, all we are just concerned about is just our own thing, how we run life. In fact, sometimes you can be worried just only about your own spiritual goods. You don't know that your spiritual growth is to an end. It's to an end of what I described to you. Even if you walk and you overcome personally, that doesn't mean that God's will has been fulfilled. That what really will please God is to see a company, a people emerge on earth that will bring the dragon down and eventually, is that same company that eventually become the Lamb's bride. Because so that is my own. So when you talk about his righteousness, it talks about his preference, his will, what he really desires. I don't know if you are following me. So that now takes us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. It said, but seek first the kingdom of God and what is righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added to you. So really, what was the question? I go, that maybe we have, so what is happening to you? How is work? Is there anything? There was an issue I discussed with him when I went to visit him, that there was an issue. He never asked about that issue. I told him to let me do something. He never did it. And I said, have you done it? Actually forgot. I'll be very busy. I can't call this person. I'll be very, very busy. So I don't understand what it means. I said, okay. I don't understand. I'm using it to just give us an analogy. But you know, in my heart, even though I will still do the things I'm supposed to do to him because I love him, but it doesn't mean that he has pleased me. So many times as Christians, God loves us, and that love is unconditional, but it doesn't mean that we have pleased him. How do we please him? You cannot please him if you don't even know what he wants, if you don't know his will, if you don't know what he desires. You cannot know. So if we cannot do his will, if we don't know what his will is, we cannot do his righteousness if we don't know what his righteousness is. So let's look at this scripture. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. Let's go to verse 32 before we go to 34. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that what you need all these things. So can you take me up? Can you take me to like verse where he first talked about let me see. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will what drink, nor about your body, what you will do what put on. Said, is not life more than food, and the body more than what clothing? So God knows that there is something more than the things we use our energy to seek. What do we eat? It talks about sustenance. Why do we go to school? Why do we want that degree? So that when you come out, you have good grades, you get good jobs, and you can have, in quotes, a good life. About your body, what we put on it. What you put on it talks about things that covers your shame and your nakedness, your pride, your glory. So apart from sustenance, another thing that people seek after are other things that they use as glory. Pride. All things about pride of life. Things to cover your shame. You know, that's why you have people that will say that if you don't give birth in this life, you know, all those things. If you don't get married, your mother will call. I've been going for everybody's wedding. I've not gone for your own. Just bring anyone that you see shall bring. And just take this, what do you call it? And just take this gun. Just take this gun. Take this shame away. So, you know, many things that we do, all in the name of, we don't want shame. And then our whole life is set on a course because we are looking for what to cover our body, to cover our shame, so that we would appear, kimbaegbeto, let me match up in the society. Let me match up to the standards in the society, standards in my family, standards in the workplace, standards that have been set on earth. And so you see men working tirelessly just to meet all these standards. So what is God now saying? He said, life is more than those things. Tell anybody, say, life is more than those things. Life is more than what you eat, or what you eat, what brings satisfaction to you, what gives you energy. Say, life is more than that. And life is more your body. What your body is supposed to do is more, what you clothing your body with ordinary clothes is not life. This body is supposed to wear immortality. So that's what God was now saying, that see, and those things look very legitimate. Are they not legitimate? They are very legitimate things. And so God is saying that, see, all these things, just the same way, even when my son was not thinking about me, I was thinking about his comfort, thinking about his good. And I'm saying that you should not worry about these things. Say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what is righteousness? He said, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34. Give me the place where he talked about that your Father knows that you have need of these things. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need what? All these things. Say, need all these things. So God knows our needs. Tell them, say God knows your needs. But you see, God wants us to set priorities right. Say set priorities right. So he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is actually God said his standards, his person, his nature, what he wants, what God desires. We can simply put his righteousness as that. We have our own righteousness. We have our own standard. We have things that we want. We know how we want things to be. You have your own personal preferences. But it's not saying that the reason why you existed. The Bible says all things were created for his pleasure. That is the reason why they exist. So say you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist. And we are what? Created. They were created for you. So there is something man is supposed to fulfill. So what God is saying that when you come on earth, you should live for that thing. You should set that thing as what? A priority. Say set it as a priority. You are going somewhere, just follow me. So man had fallen so much that we seek other things. We seek money. No, whatever you seek is what you want to have. If you don't want to have something, you don't do what? You don't seek it. So when God said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, that means that God wants you to have the kingdom and his righteousness. You know the way we seek money? Why do people seek money? So that they can have it. So you see people chasing money so that can have it. If a guy wants to marry a sister, what does he begin to do? Begin to chase her. Be seeking after her, calling. What does he want to do? He want to have her. Want to marry her. So whatever you want to have, what do you do to that thing? You seek it. So one way to know that you are interested in something is to know how much you are doing to seek that thing out. So God is saying that what man was made for, what is supposed to be the priority of man is for man to seek his kingdom, his dominion, his governance over our lives, and his righteousness, his right standards, his own judgment, his own perspective, the way he interprets things, the way his preferences should be what? Our preferences. So he says, seek ye first. So you should set this on whatever you are going to seek. Set this as a priority. Wanting God's dominion over your life, God's governance over your life. You know that, not like Pastor was teaching us yesterday, you know that sin is a dominion. Death is also what? A dominion. That was what Paul was saying. He said that the things I like to do, said in me, I really want to do what is right. He said, but I find something else. What I want to do, I find out that I cannot do it. But rather the thing I do not want to do, that's what I find myself doing. He said, that means that there is a law in my member. That law is a dominion. So the same thing God wants to do, God wants righteousness. So you can say that law or sin became a remote control, controlling his action. The same way God wants righteousness to be, to dominate our soul. Paul was saying that before you think it, you have already done it. That a time will come that righteousness, that was said, seek ye first the kingdom. And it's actually that this righteousness become a dominion in our life. You know the way sin runs us at times. Have you seen sometimes that sin just runs you before you know? Say, shame on you, they should tell you no by. Is it me that Satan has just used just like that? Before you know, it bypasses your faculties. Yes, that is what God wants. God wants you to come to a place in which righteousness bypasses your faculties. It becomes a dominating factor. So he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his dominion, his governance. So sin has governed man. Sin is the problem of man, no? Sin has governed man. And it has reigned on to coming to a place in which it has given us death. And death took up, you know, that higher dominion. But God is now saying that, see, oh, the same way sin did, grace can also come. Grace can come and bring, and righteousness can also come into it, and righteousness can come to a point in which righteousness can also reign in your life. You don't believe me? That righteousness can do what? Can reign. He said, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, another death came through sin. Say, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Yesterday, when you know, I just saw that gift of righteousness in a new way. That gift of righteousness is the blessing of righteousness. The blessing of sin is death. The blessing of grace is what? Righteousness. He said, the gift of righteousness. So when you now have this blessing, he said, you will reign in life through the one word, Jesus Christ. Amen. So his righteousness is his will, and his desire. You see, part of the righteousness of God is desire, is what I described to you that first time, that God wants a company. Thank God for individuals that have walked and overcame. But his desire, the Lord himself desires what? A company of people. Say, a company of people. God desires a company of people. He desires a company of people that will become, I wrote, I said, that will become rod men. See, not like Moses, you know, when Pastor was preaching, that was even the first time I saw it. You know that one of the things that, when after they took Moses to the wilderness and they delivered and they beat out Egypt from him, and he came and he appeared before God. One of the things God asked him was, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. He had become a rod. After going through that training, the works that the only thing that was left of him, he had become what? A rod. And it was that rod that God used to do what? To smite Egypt. It was not his intellect. It was not his intelligence. He was not anything. He had become what? A rod. He had become a rod man. But you know, God is not just interested only in rod man. God is interested in what? Rod man. You know, like Pastor was telling us yesterday, that's Psalm 110. That rod there, it talks about a tribe. A people. Say people. You see, one of the things I want to do, one thing I want that I'm praying God will do to you this morning is to see God's righteousness in his desire to have a people. Say a people. Oh, I can't hear you. Say a people. You know that many times you're all particular. Yes, it starts like that. God working in individual. But you know, many times you don't see it in the context of a company, of a people, or a critical mass. Say a critical mass. We don't see it in that context, but you know, that is God's desire. Like if I ask God, Kilefe, what do you want to eat? I want to do the food that you like, or God, the venison that will bring you pleasure. God will say, I want a people, a tribe, a people, rod men, a man child company that will eventually evolve to be the lamb's wife. Say, people! I can't hear you. Say, people! So we know that man, because of the fall, man has got into a place in which man seeks other things, but not his righteousness. Now, like I said, his righteousness is his desire, is what he wants, is his preference, is his nature, is him, is his, you can say it is his personality, it is his person. And many times, as believers, when we get born again, you know, like we say, we still, even though we are born again, but many times we are still not yet bothered about his righteousness. But really, the entire journey, like Pastor painted to us yesterday, is when you get born again, it is the beginning of a journey to come and do what? Learn his righteousness. Say, learn his righteousness. So when you get born again, yes, you can say, I'm his righteousness in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ Jesus. But you see, that righteousness in Christ Jesus, they want to walk it inside you. That is the Lord's desire. That is righteousness in Christ. It is in Christ Jesus. It is a benefit you have for being in Christ Jesus. But beyond that, it is a benefit, it is a gift that God has given you. But beyond that, God wants that gift to now find expression in your life. Walking his righteousness in you. So that he that doeth righteous what? Is righteous. So this one now is not now imputed righteousness. It is righteousness that have been worked in you that you are executing. That has become what? Your conversation. Say, my conversation. So you see in that Matthew, you see in that Matthew chapter 6, I think maybe earlier verse, when Jesus was talking, he said, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or whatever. But you see, by the time he got to verse 30 something, he was saying that that thing had actually become their conversation. Their conversation was, what shall we eat? Give me the first one, then you now go to 31. I want to show you something. These are the conversations of men. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 32 now. 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying. What is their saying? What is their conversation? What shall we eat? What shall we do? What shall we wear? So sometimes if you look at people's conversation, their entire life, it is built around this thing. Around what? Say what? Say what? So we said that there is no man being that is was made without wanting to know a what. There is always a what that every soul, there is a vacuum in every soul wanting to feel a what. So your own what can be, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And then what shall we wear? And then I've explained to you what it goes beyond what we eat. It is what brings satisfaction to you and keeps you going. Then what you shall wear, you know, things you want to use to glories of this world, to cover your shame, to meet up to the standards of this world. These are some of the things that all our words are what about. But actually, if you see Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul, but God wants to give us a different word, say a different word. You see Ephesians chapter 1 that when Paul met this church is already heard of their faith and their love in Christ Jesus. And everybody knows these people, they are doing fine in their faith, you know, and their love for all the saints. So therefore, also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not seek to give thanks for you, making mention of you what in my prayers. So this prophet, these people, they have received Jesus, they are doing well, but they are still, they had faith, they had love for all the saints, their faith was known everywhere. Paul was even hearing of their faith, but knew that there was still more and wanted to move them into the what. Say the what. So you now see the prayer that Paul was praying for them. It was the prayer of what? Said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? Knowledge of what? Him. So you begin to see that him can be his righteousness. No, because my righteousness is me. What did I say? That is me. So have you ever seen that? That is where I want my thing. That is me. Oh, that's just me. Oh, okay, do you like this kind of plate? No, it's not my thing. Have you seen like that? It's not my thing. What is it? It's not my righteousness. So but now begin to tell them that, see, it is beyond just having faith and love for all the saints. So you people now need to take your journey further to a place in which you now begin to have know him. Say know him. Knowledge of him, knowledge of his righteousness. What are his preferences? What are his desires? That not that faith. I believe that faith that they had, Pastor, I'm sure you can correct me. That faith that they had, they were using faith to believe God for things, to get things done, maybe even escape torture, you know, because then they were being persecuted. Use faith for so many things, you know. And remember that many of these people that joined the church, they left their businesses and all that. And because remember the story now in Acts, how they came, how Gentiles were added. So many of them left their livelihood and joined the body. And so many of them could have been believing God for resources to even meet their daily needs. So that faith, I believe that faith was more of things. Faith for things, believing God, you know, and all that. I believe. But God was saying that beyond that, it's not just about asking me for 2K. Mommy send 2K. Mommy send 4K for Suya. Come and know what? My righteousness. Now you have done that. Enough of all that. It is good. I know you need those things. But beyond that, come and seek my what? Righteousness. So you began to pray for them that they may know him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what? is what? The hope of his calling. That's one first word. Say what? Know that there's another word that we have seen that man lives for. So man lives for a what? So we live, people live for what they want to eat, what they want to drink, what they want to clothe their body for, everything. See, Elon Musk, whatever he's doing is for a what? Everything, glory and honor, richest man in the world, had the best breakthrough. It is still all under those three things. What you will eat, drink, and clothe. Fame. What do people seek fame for? It's a glory now. So it's like a covering. So all the things men live for under the sun can be categorized under those: what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you go. But God just said that when you come into Christ, they want to give you another what. So the what you should be discovering now is to know what is the hope of. It's not your own calling, my dear. What is calling? Say is calling. His calling is his righteousness. He's still under his. Anything that has to do with him and is his righteousness. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are, another one, what are the what? Riches of the glory of what? I can't hear you. Of what? What does that have anything to do with you? Is everything towards him, his calling, his inheritance in the saints, and what? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who what? Who believe. According to the, so now see the power. You know that there are many powers that people used to seek. So people seek power. They go and pray 1 year or they are fasting because they want the power of Babalola. Have you seen people do that? Power, and is it wrong to do miracles? Is it wrong to raise the dead? No. In fact, God, the Lord said, he said, this power and these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. God wants us to have a believer's authority, authority over demons, sicknesses, and all that. But you see, this kind of what exceeding greatness of his power that is describing us is beyond that. It is dependent. Let us look at it. And what is the greater to power to us also believe? According working of his mighty power. So he's describing the kind of power. There's a kind of power. He calls it exceeding greatness of his power towards us. What kind of that kind of power has his own righteousness, has his own specifications. Something is according. That means this is the specification. So let's look at the specification. Said, according to the working of his power, which he worked in who? Christ. He gave us an example. When he did what? Raised him from the dead. And what? Seated him at his right hand in what? Heavenly places. So there was a power he worked in Christ that took him from the place of death to life. I know that we have said that one of the things, the problem of man, what has reigned over man? Death. Say death. So we see God work power. So now say that the kind of the kind of power I want you, the kind of what power I want you to be chasing is this kind of power that can bring people from the place of death and make and raise them, build them up. Like we see in Ephesians, this is why he gave all the fivefold ministry, is to do what? Build the body. He said, I will build my church. I will raise my church. So he said that this kind of power, when he takes a man that has become grass, this power can work in a man, bring that fleshly soul, raise that fleshly soul up, make that fleshly soul to journey, to overcome, and end of the day, do what? Sit. This one is not seated in Christ. You know, Revelation, he was saying that he that overcome, mate, give me that scripture. Said, you will do what? You will sit with me. Said, to him who overcomes, I will do what? Grant to do what? Sit with me on my throne. How many of you know that Jesus is sitting on the throne? He has dominion. No, like Pastor said, he has keys. keys of life. So whatever, you know, it was yesterday when I was talking, I was talking about binding things, losing things. Have it, no, like death is a dominion. Jesus has dominion over life. Oh, I can't see your excitement. Jesus has dominion what? Over life. So they say that there's a power that God can work in you. Eh? What did I say? There's a power that God can work in you. Know that, you know, this grassy, fleshly soul, they work that power in you. It can raise you up. It can build you up. And you will overcome the dragon. And you will sit. This one is not seated. You know, the one they promised us in Ephesians 2:6 is that we are seated. Let's look at it. Say, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in what? In Christ Jesus. So all those sitting, it is inside, everything is still inside Christ. But this one that I'm describing in Revelation 3:21, it is not seated in Christ. It is seated with Christ. The same state, being conformed to the image of the Son. So you now see that those are the words, that there is a power that can be wrought in the man. So Paul began to pray that there's a power that can work, that God can work in you. He can do a work in you to build you up, bring you from the place of death, open your graves. Things that have held you down, captive, flesh, held you in a fleshly life. Now God has power to work something out, break you free. No, I know something. When I was praying, I also said, Jesus is a jailbreaker. What did I say? You know, sin and death has kept us under captivity. But you see, when you learn Christ, you know what learning of Christ does for you? He breaks the jail. He sets you free. You know, when Paul lamented in that romance, that, what I want to do, said I cannot do this. He said, now said, well, thanks be to God. He said, the law of life in Christ Jesus as what? He did not say set me free. Say made me. What does made tell you? Made denotes what? A process. So there is something in Christ that can make you free from the hold of what? Sin and death. And really, let me tell you something. The problem of man is what? Sin and death. Like I said, the last enemy that will be overcome is what? Death. So I say that there is a what? That can let us know, experience that kind of power that raised Christ from the dead, raised him up, and brought him to a place that's what? He seated him at his what? Right hand in the what? Heavenly places. So you can see the what. So when you become a believer, these are the words that I want to use to replace the former what of what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we what wear? So then they want you to know what is the hope of his calling, what are his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Say amen. Amen. Are you excited? Amen. So then I'm going to say, know the what? What? So the what is about him. So that was and I said, seek ye first. When we say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it is coming to know his what? Coming to know him. And you know, see, you can be a believer and, like I said, you will have all different benefits, but you never came to that place of what about him. We saw it in some of the, in Matthew, people that worked for him said, we casted demons in your name, said, we healed the sick, we did this, we did that. And he said, depart from me, for I know. He said, not everyone who says to me, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. They even have the terminologies. Lord, Lord. Shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what he didn't say we should seek. Say, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and what? Is that shall come into his dominion, into his pleasure. Said, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does what? The will of my Father. That will is also what? The righteousness of my Father in heaven. Verse 22. Many. Did not say few. What did they say? And if you just say many, it will indeed be what? Many. So many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We even cast demons in your name. and done what? Many wonders in your name. Not in the name of Satan. In his name. Say in his name. Said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Said, depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. They did not do his righteousness. So everything they were doing, the prophesying in his name, the casting demons in his name, everything they were doing it in what? In lawlessness, not in according to his what? Righteousness. So notice that this issue of knowing his righteousness is very important. What did I say? He's very important as a believer. And today we have many Christians that are born again, but they don't know anything about his righteousness. They know his works, but they don't know him. And you see, when we talk about that him, it is not abstract. There are things that makes him up. Everything about God, or everything about the Godhead, is inside one man called Jesus. And there are instructors, different formations in him. And he said that we should come, and when you learn those things inside him, you are doing what? You are learning what? Righteousness. And that is what the gospel is supposed to do. What did I say? I can't hear you. That is what the gospel is supposed to do. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of what? Christ. For it is what? The power of God. To what? So even this, our definition of power, we need to define it very well. Because many times when people define power, there are things, I'm not saying that they're not expression of God's power, but you know, the predominant mindset, when you say, that man is a powerful man of God, what comes to your mind? Say it now. Miracles. That man, there's a powerful man of God coming to visit our church. Remember, that's a miracle sign. That's, when you click that icon, power, what comes out is what? Miracles. But no, those ones are just free benefits. When you click power, what should come out should be what? Salvation. You should be thinking about salvation, righteousness, men being converted, conversion of souls, men that have become, that are doers of righteousness. So say, for it is the power of God to salvation, to anyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. He said, for in it, say for in it. I like how everybody say in it, isn't it? In it. For in it, inside it, inside the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man, no. Not your own righteousness. So don't we all have our own righteousness? Say, the righteousness of God is what? Revealed. And there's a way it is revealed. It is not revealed at once. It is revealed from what? Faith. To what? To faith. Denoting what? When you say something is from something to something, what does it denote? A journey. A what? A process. So he's telling us that the gospel, what Christ, what preaching, what preachers, what we are supposed to be learning in church, that should be given to us is righteous. Every time you come to church, you should be learning what? Righteousness. Righteousness of who? Righteousness of God. That the gospel should be what? The dispenser, the unveiler, there's any English called revelator, the revelator of God's word, righteousness. That is what the gospel is supposed to be. It's supposed to be revealing, teaching us righteousness. Because you see, righteousness of God is hidden. You need to be taught. I'm not saying you need to be taught. That's why I said, that's why he told them in Ephesians, I said, you have also learned Christ. So they had to, you know, and the righteousness of God, the person they poured it into is Christ. Everything is what? In Christ. The righteousness of the Godhead, everything. He said Jesus is he manifests it what? Bodily. Bodily. He encompasses everything. You want to know the righteousness of God? You know, it's just like, if you say, I want to know Pastor Mrs. There's some people that are close to me that can describe what I like and what I don't like. You ask, mom doesn't like anything that has calorie. If you give me biscuits, the first thing I will check in that biscuit, I will turn it to the back. I'll go and calculate the calorie. If the calorie is more than 250 kilocal, I'm not going to shop her more. That is my own word, righteousness. But you see, you cannot know. If you see me now, as I day, you cannot know some of my righteousness until I do what? And I reveal it. So someone goes, ah, mommy, ah, I want to buy biscuit for mommy. I say, ah, and I just say, Williams, please get me biscuits. Then you go to FS and say, ah, what a privilege. What an honor to buy biscuits for my pastor, Mrs. Pastor, Mrs. called me to buy biscuits. And then you go to FSY and then you see the shelf, different biscuits. And they say, ah, you see the ones that are 100 naira. Ah, no. Pastor, Mrs. does not want 100 naira biscuits. No, they start sampling. Then you see shortbread. It's not the shortbread made in Dubai. Oh. It's not, there are different kind of shortbreads now in markets. Ah, there's one short. See, the UK made shortbread is the real shortbread. If you eat it, you know you are eating shortbread. The milk will be milking your mouth. As you're chewing it, your mouth will be milky. Not all this Dubai one, the thing will be a little crack like powder. That one, it doesn't do crack. When you take it, the thing will dissolve and then your mouth will be milky. You know, say, oh my God, Pastor Mrs. does not disturb Costa. Ah no, Costa is too small. How shall I, my whole pastor misses, buy Costa for her? Then you now buy the shortbread. You even see the Dubai one. Say no, pastor misses is more than Dubai one. Let me, and then you buy me the shortbread. If I, you see, I say ah, if you buy me that, and I look at it, when I check the calorie at the bar, because the calorie at the bar is almost 2,000 something. I say, this one, not fish up. And I say ah, you have bought me ordinary because Costa has very low calorie. It's just about 250 something kilocal. I would appreciate that than the shortbread. Why would you know? In your own, it's your own righteousness you're using to judge me. That's what you do many times. Even when we say we are doing things for God, when we are doing what we do, what is right in our own side. That's what I said. All of our righteousness are what? Before Him. You know, see the reason why I want, you know, so why is God? I'm even trying to be righteous. God is not saying all my righteousness are fit because you don't know His righteousness. That is why we have to learn what is righteousness. So we have to be taught. So you now need to know. You now need to come. You now need to learn. So, oh, if you want to, Pastor Missy, so everything is, she's counting calories because she wants to lose tummy. So if you want to give her anything, make sure that the thing, the calorie is small. When the calorie is small like this, we chop them. Then, because that is my own word, righteousness. That is my own preference. That is my own desire. That is what I want. That is what will please me. So if you bring the shop, I will appreciate it. I'll say, oh, thank you so much. Maybe out of, so that I would encourage you, I can cut half of it and eat it better. I would not dash people the remaining one. But if it is that coaster, you know that coaster, it's not, if you give me the six, I might not appreciate it as much as you give me the four. Because if you give me the four, I know that you are helping me to keep commandments. Because that six, you are tempting me beyond my limits. So if you give me the four, I will appreciate it. Oh, thank you. You are even helping my soul so that I don't eat too much flour. So can you see how many times you don't know God's righteousness? So that's why when you get born again, after you get born again, the first thing you should do is not to go and carry a microphone. That is not the first thing to become apostle within 3 years of getting born again. But the first thing you're supposed to do is to sit down and learn Christ. Say, learn Christ. Say, learn Christ. You know what Christ will do? Christ will take away all your own righteousness. He will take all the things that seems right to you, the things that seems comfortable to your flesh. Christ deals with the old man. Then He will make you a new man, fashioned after what? Righteousness and true holiness. It's because there are many fake holiness. Say that, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. You see, when you see something according, Pastor has taught us that when you say according, what does it mean? Doctrine. Doctrine means it gives you the standard. So you say, if you are maybe people in chemistry or whatever, say, make this compound this clinical according to this standard. According to, there's a standard. That according, how do you know that standard? Somebody have written the SOP. So doctrine is what? The SOP. It's the SOP of their righteousness. How their righteousness. So if you don't hear doctrine, you cannot know what? Their righteousness. So when we get born again, we get to church, we come to church, we see them, we learn their righteousness. As we are learning Christ, know what they are doing? We are offloading our own words, righteousness, wicked works in us. And then they are empowering us with their own words, righteousness. Let's quickly run. So righteousness must be. So gospel reveals righteousness. It needs to be learned. Righteousness knocks off our own righteousness. Until his standards are raised and him revealed, you will always feel you are right in your own sight. Have you done an exam before and you did say, more for sure? Then maybe somebody now comes and somebody now does the correction, raises the standard. Then you see the marking scheme. You know the marking scheme is the what? Is the standard, is the righteousness. Then you see, I don't fall short though. In your own sight, you felt you are right. So until that's why righteousness needs to be revealed. If righteousness is not revealed, we will stay in our darkness. What did I say? So you see, these 7 days that we have come, what we have come, what we are, what everyone wants to do to us is to teach us their righteousness. Say their righteousness. Their righteousness. They want to teach us their righteousness. So when we know their righteousness, then we can do what? We can adjust. Because we have many things in us that are not the right standard. Iniquity, inequality, according to their righteousness. So when righteousness is revealed, it knocks out those things. It empowers us to live above those things. Amen. Are you following me? But you see, like I said, righteousness revealed is a journey of faith to faith. And you can't truly know all his righteousness except you follow him faith to faith, from one step to another, from one step to another, until you come into the fullness of that righteousness. Amen. But you see, there are many things that do not want us to know, like where we started from, said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But there are many things that do not want us to seek his righteousness. All those things that were enemies. So when you're thinking of, like Pastor we say, when you're thinking of enemies, don't think about your auntie in the village, somebody in your family that doesn't want your glory to shine. Those enemies are things within us. Those enemies, there are two. They are both within and without. Within, there are things, natures that they have worked in us, that have become our own righteousness. In our family, for example, in my family, let me say you about this. In our family, we used to get angry a lot. That is just us. That just like that. That is your own righteousness. Have you seen some tribes that they will even tell you some tribes, oh, they are very stubborn? That is their own righteousness. Eh? But didn't matter they do that. I mean, we will even say the thing. The way we even said the thing. Ah, we know they do that kind thing. Oh. Ah, no, lie. Eh, Yoruba man, no, they do that kind thing. Those are our righteousness. That we even glory in. We even glory in our shame. In our fall. But you see, we will never know that those things are not righteousness until righteousness is what? Revealed. We'd accepted them aside. So some of those things have been worked in, inside us. Natures, preferences, the way you judge life, the way you see things. So as a young lady, since you have been growing up, I've been telling you that, don't let any man cheat you. Even you yourself, as you are a man on your own. They're already wiring your mind. What am I saying? They're already doing what? Wiring your mind. And say, some people say, as you see me, so me, I'm Suru, I want it easy. I'm a cool, what's the name? Soft life. I'm made for what? Soft life. I'm a baby girl. Soft girl, soft life. Everything needs to be soft. Are you seeing rewiring? So when a brother comes, which is the righteousness of God for you? Your soul is a soft life soul. And when you see the brother, his righteousness doesn't look soft. Outside it is looking what? Hard. And you say, no, this cannot be the will of God for me. Can you see how things that we have been wired on act and say, oh, no. This cannot be the will of God for me. I know my God. I know what God has told me. I know my God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, for I desire people who would please me. For I desire people who will come even into that place where they can understand my thoughts. For I look for a people who my thoughts can rest in, who my thoughts can even find a place of habitation in them. And because of even the evil work that Satan had done in generations, many, their heart has not become habitable for my thoughts. And therefore, my righteousness cannot rest even in their soul. For I'm bringing even wisdom. I'm bringing wisdom. I'm bringing measurements. I'm bringing judgment. I'm putting even judgment to the line. I'm putting righteousness to the plumes that you can see even my measurement. That you can weigh even your ways against my ways. That you will drop your ways. That you will drop your ways. For even the prosperity of your soul only lies in coming into my righteousness. The prosperity of your soul is tied to doing even my will. The prosperity of your soul is tied to doing even my righteousness. For even that righteousness, even the righteousness that is in Christ, even the righteousness that is in Christ is what spares what pleases me. Is what spares even my pleasure. Is what spares even my desire. Even my desire. Even my desire. For even that which I've committed, even that which I've committed as a dispensation for this generation, is that I will raise a people. I will raise a people who will do even my righteousness in mass. In mass. In mass. In mass. For I've raised people in time past who in trickles did righteousness. Who in trickles did righteousness. But in this season, I am bringing that. I'm bringing an understanding that will cause a people, a whole generation, that they will follow unto to do righteousness. For I want to put an end. I want to put an end to that which Satan has wrought in your lineage. I want to put an end to that which is in your gene, which has fabricated a kind and a standard of righteousness, which is against my standard. For I'm bringing wisdom. For even this, and that which will proceed in this week, is to raise my standard that you would see. Is to raise my standard that you see. And so that you can come to an end of yourself and begin a journey of coming into my righteousness. So I said, open your heart. Even upon your heart. For even these things that you laugh about are the things that are made for your salvation, are the things that are made for your prosperity, are the things that are made even for coming into my pleasure. I say, receive these things with joyfulness. Receive it with also soberness, and cause your heart to desire to walk in this, and you will come into my prosperity, saith the Lord.
Amen. You know, one of the things that the Lord will be doing in this meeting is that the Lord will be dealing with carnality. Our carnal judgments. Say carnal judgments. You see, these carnal judgments are anti-God's righteousness. Now, I was saying that there are things inside us that does not allow us to seek His righteousness. That is what we are made to do. We're supposed to live and seek for His righteousness. But there are things within us that does not allow those things. And you see, if they bring God's righteousness to some people, they can never take it. So before, that's why I told you that righteousness is revealed from what? Faith to faith. So they first reveal a particular curriculum, which we have to first of all deal with certain things so that you can assess the next curriculum. You see, the righteousness of God desire you. Why did I say? Say my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways what? Are not your ways. Say, as far as the heavens is from the earth. That's how far. God's thoughts, God's righteousness is far, how far gone from man's own righteousness. So for before they can bring God's righteousness to us, there is something inside man that is against the righteousness of God. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 4. For those who live according to the flesh. And you see, you can be a believer, a born again, and you are still living by the flesh. What is ruling you is still the law of what? The flesh. What did I say? So for those who live according to the flesh, so how do you know them? They set their minds on the things of the word flesh. So it's also, so one of the things you should look at is that, what is your mind set on? You see those things I described. If your mind is still set on, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? I know it's not just only literal. Those things I use, if it is still around it, you are still flesh. That's why in Colossians, I think Colossians, we said, set your mind on things above. Let's just quickly set. Say, set your mind on things above, not on things what? On the earth. Verse 3. If then you were raised with Christ. You know, like God say, I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places and all that. Said, yes, truly, if you were raised with Christ, what you should now be doing is that you should be doing what? Seek those things which are what? Above. Where what? Christ. Where is Christ? Where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of God. Not like we said in Revelation, which said, he that overcome, will I do what? Grant to sit what? Sit with me. So they said, those are the things you should be seeking for. Seeking how you will overcome. What I described in the beginning. Are you following me? Let's read it together again. He said, if you were raised, you know, like we said, I'm Christ, righteousness in Christ Jesus. I'm seated with him, seated in heavenly places, just like heaven. You know, I'm seated with Christ. He said, if truly, you, as you are quoting that thing, he said, if then you were raised with Christ, he said, do what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is. And where is Christ? Sitting at the right hand of God. How did Christ get there? He did righteousness. He walked, he loved righteousness and what? Hated iniquity. He did the will of the Father. He said, now I have finished your works. He said, glorify me with the glory that I had with you, even in the beginning. So he did the works. Oh, I can't hear you. He said, he did the works. So they're saying that what you should live for is how you would overcome and sit with Christ. Not just only sit in him. You are seated in him so that you can do what? Sit with him. So you need to overcome. Tell neighbor, say we need to come to place of overcoming. So overcoming. So then I said that these are the things you should be pursued. That should be your pursuit. Not many of you, if I sit with you and I say, give me your 5-year plan, you have plan. You have plan. You don't plan your life. Oh. As you did, the pastor just seeing you in a lie. People say, what is the pastor? Pastor, I'm still waiting on God. It's a lie. You have plan. You have plans. Say we have plans. Oh no, we can plan a life. So as I am now, once I finish, when I serve, all this one I'm doing now, let me just finish school. Once I finish, I serve. Once I serve like this, I don't even want to serve in Oyo State. There's no job processing. My uncle will work it for me in Lagos. I work it in Lagos. When I get to Lagos, I want to work in this place. When I work in this place, I do this. And after working in this place, I want to take a professional course. I jackpot. If I do this course, all my friends, they said this is how much dollar they are paying them. I do that. That girl. Me, I'm doing engineering. She's doing nursing. Very good. If she travels, she should be doing a nursing. I'll be doing masters and PhD. By the time we finish, we balance. We plan our lifestyle way. But we don't have any plan for how. If I ask, what is your 10-year plan of how you want to sit beside the throne, oh, man? You don't have any plan. You are not thinking, how do I want? You see that seeking all this thing that pretty just by the way is your secondary vocation. So now say that if you truly are saying that all these quotes that you quote that you are seated in Christ, if then you are seated with Christ, say seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Say set your mind on things above, not on things on the head. For you died. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm not saying that we should not plan our life and do all that. I'm not saying we should not plan. When he's saying set, is that you should prioritize. It makes, when you say set something, it is the priority. That is your treasure. What did I say? That is where I die. I died there. If they said there's anything I can die for, now this one. So every other thing, my career, the person I choose to marry, it is determined by this. So when I'm looking for a person I want to marry, I'm not looking for somebody that we will overcome together. Not the person that will overcome me, will say. Yes, that's it. See, sincerely. If this is your mind, nobody will preach to you that you should not be unequally yoked. Why will you be unequally yoked? How will you be unequally yoked? With this, you have this as your goal. You want to sit. Do you know what he said? Both of you are co-heirs of life. How does death and life want to inherit life together? That's a hey, so mommy, Pastor Mrs. I have a question. I don't know. There's a guy, he's a very good guy. He's a very good, very nice. Well, he doesn't really like so much of this pretend things. He's from a Christian family, but you know, he's not really into all this. He's not really into all these things, but he's a good guy, oh. Very nice, very kind. He's very supportive. You know, that's what we mean. Very supportive and caring. Oh, Angbo. But you know, this Christ thing, he's a career person anyway. And then you say that the only thing is that you don't want to this guy. That is a major thing. Why did I say? No. Why are you here? Is it not because you're saying he's not really into the crisis? So what is he really? What are you supposed to be really? Excuse me? What are you supposed to be really into as a believer? No. What are you supposed to be really into? So you meet a guy, the guy is liking you, are liking the guy, and the guy is like, this is your church thing. It's like you take this church thing too much. Omo, take shoe. Before your emotion starts going haywire, carry shoe and flee. Because what should I be into? Where I am receiving righteousness, I say, me, I won't overcome. I need to learn righteousness to overcome. In the time he said, the thing where God make me overcome, may I not give myself to it? It's just like me, I'm a medical student. I'm not telling him that, you read too much. I'm not supposed to be reading like this. Look at people in, don't let me mention, because I don't say that, doesn't occur. So let's say maybe somebody in, I don't know, sorry, people in Tata Hearts. I'm not saying you're not serious. So. Okay, so look at people in Tata Hearts. They're just saying, why are you reading like that? Life is not, now. Oh, let you bellow. This one that me, I want to overcome. If it is to overcome and sit with Christ, then it takes a lot. Then I need to be into this thing that I'm talking about. Are you following me? So he said, so he's saying that you should seek these things. Set this as your priority. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. For you died, and your real life, this life here, this fleshly carnal life, is not your real life. Your real life, you don't even know what your real life is until they show you his righteousness. When you say, this scripture says that we do not know what we will become until he was what? Until he appears. So you don't even know who you are. Say, no, you don't know me, I don't know you. Until you know Christ, and I know the real you. This you that I'm seeing is still an old version. The more you know Christ, the more you are updated. A new version of you comes out. So someone say, I know Pastor Mister. Don't Pastor me. Come 10 years time. I know miss this version, my dad. You're not even going to meet this version. Because the more I get closer to God, the more the real me, the real Fisayo as fashioned in the heart of God, gets what? Unveiled. So we don't even want to say, hey, you don't, and you don't know me. Oh, yes, we don't know you. You need to know Christ, then we will really know you. He said, for your life, please give me back to that scripture. Say, for you died, and your life is what? Say hidden. So even your real you needs to be unveiled. How is your real you? God, million don't even know. The disciples said, we don't even know what we shall be. Say, but when we see him. So the only thing that we don't even know. Say, beloved, now we are children of God. and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. It is still what? Hidden. Say, but we know that when he is revealed, what is the he? It's righteousness. So when his righteousness is revealed, we shall also, the only thing I can use to really describe what I can now look at, it is him. Say, we shall be like him. For we shall do what? See him as what he is. So you don't really know yourself until he reveals himself to you. Until you see his righteousness. Until, said, when he needs the righteousness of God is what? So even God's righteousness too is hidden. It has to be what? Revealed. That was why Paul was praying for that church. He said, we do not cease to pray for you. He said, we do not cease to pray for you. So your prayers, see, your prayers must not lack these prayers of what? It is a lifetime prayer. Of what? It's righteousness. See, this is why we are gathered here. These 7 days, we are praying that God will reveal his righteousness. The more he reveals himself, the more the true me, fashioned after him, is revealed. So he said that we should set our minds on things what? Above and not on things here. Can you take me back to the scripture I was initially? Amen. So set your mind for you've died and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Okay. So there are things that do not want us to take into Romans. Yes, Romans 5. I almost lose that truck. So he said, when you are carnal, a carnal man cannot take the righteousness of God. When it comes, you can almost take stone and stone God. If God reveals certain things to you and tells certain things as you are now, you can take stone and stone him and say, maybe it is Satan. Because his righteousness, I'll tell you about how his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his, but what God wants to bring us is that his thoughts becomes our thoughts. And his ways becomes what? Our ways. Say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But what God wants to now do is that God wants to begin to unveil his ways to us. Let's look at Psalm 67. And by unveiling those ways, something begins to happen to us. Say, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. You know, I thought in the beginning that grace brings what? Righteousness. I thought that righteousness what? Is a gift. Is a blessing. So when his righteousness is being revealed to you, Omo, you are being what? Blessed. What did I say? You know that when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And all of them, they said all one of things. Then Peter, by the Spirit, was able to describe his righteousness. Say for that. But Simon answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what? You know, because that was God's right. It was describing his person. Not only just, we're just describing so many things about him because of the works. You know, you look like Elijah. You look like this. No, said, no one said, say, blessed. Say, blessed. Say, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. So this is righteousness. Say, for me, the righteousness of God is what? Revealed. So he had the revelation of who he is, of the what? You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And he just said, wow, Peter, you are what? Blessed. So real blessing is when they reveal their righteousness to us. I can't hear you say amen. You know, some of you are sitting there, you don't think that you are blessed. You think you are losing money. Maybe you are a business person. No, not the way we are. Satan has messed up her mindset. Then you are hungry. But you don't see that sitting and his righteousness being revealed to you is what? Blessing. If Jesus calls something blessed, that thing is what? Blessed. So he's saying that unveiling his righteousness, coming to his righteousness is what? Blessing. Tell the boy, say, I am blessed. Why am I blessed? I'm not blessed because God gave me 10 million naira. The greatest blessing that can happen to a man is God revealing his righteousness to you, unveiling himself to you, showing all making you to see the things that makes him up, learning of him, his great blessing. And we must see it that way. Many times Satan doesn't want you to see it that way. He wants you to see that you are suffering, that you don't have money, you're not eating chicken, you're not eating meat, you are working. See your friends, they're riding jeep, you're not riding jeep. You are here. You say that God said you should stay in Ibadan. You are here. You don't see that blessing. You don't know that doing God's righteousness, you are a blessed generation. So say, God, be merciful to us and bless us. And cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. So how does he show mercy and blessing to us? Verse 2. That's what your way may be known on earth. And what will now happen when God's ways are known? What happened? Your salvation among God, all nations. Verse 3. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. So when God's ways are being revealed, what is happening? Salvation. Shout salvation. I can hear you shout salvation. So when righteousness is being revealed, something is happening to God's people. God's people are being saved. Just like we read in that romance where he said that in it the righteousness of God is being revealed, what? From faith to faith. The just shall live by what? Faith. So when righteousness is being revealed, man is coming closer to full what? Salvation. So there are things that will not allow man to receive God's salvation, to receive his righteousness. There are things within us. So that not like I've established God's righteousness, his thoughts and his ways. They are higher. But God wants it to come to a point in which his thoughts becomes our thoughts. That's the way he thinks, the way he processes things, his judgments, his ways, his conversation. His lifestyle, his nature. He wants it to become our way. But you see, there are things within us that if they bring that righteousness in form of his thoughts and his ways, many times, if you are carnal, you cannot receive it. Let's look at that. Let's look at romance. Say, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Can you see? So, I know we digressed a little bit to look at Colossians to know that what are we supposed to set our eyes on things affectionate, on things above, you know. And we said where Christ is seated, that's things that pertains to sitting with Christ. Say, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. So when you are carnal in your mind, death is really no value. It is death. And you know, let's say carnality is not just only when you fornicate or you commit adultery. That's the death. That's the righteousness of the church. When it comes to carnality, that brother is very carnal. He has slept with six sisters. See, when Paul was describing carnality in Corinthians, he was talking about envy. Things like envy, things like strife. All those things are still what? Works of the flesh. They are still expressions of carnality. So they're saying that, well, if all these things are still in you, envy, strife, jealousy, evil speaking, malice. Spirit cocoon. If you like tie your head from tie your whole body from up to down, you are not spiritual cocoon. You are carnal. You live in a hostel, somebody wrongs you, you don't talk to the person. Say, no. See that day, I know. Everybody, stay your lane, I stay my lane. Malice, say malice. So if you are still malicious, you are carnal. Write it down. Comment, you don't know when you say carnal. You think of sister, yeah, me see that slept with Brother Gbenro. That's what you are thinking in your mind. It is more than that. Strife, envy, not preferring one to another. All of these things are love of yourself. What is a carnal expression? He's not saying that for you. He said that when you are carnal, you are what? An enemy of God. See, for carnality is what? For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Let's continue. Give me that place. And he said, because the carnal mind, when the way you reason, your thoughts, the way you interpret life, you want to pick sister. Let's bring it home. You want to pick sister. What you're looking at is bomb. Bomb is your first priority. My brother. Oh, Baba, you know word of righteousness. So carnal, pa. Yes, you see, these are things that you must use to judge yourself, to know where you are. So you're looking at the sister. Oh, this sister, she no get. You don't carry.
You are not looking at virtues within. See, these are things that we must begin to use to judge ourselves so that we don't deceive ourselves. You know, Pastor, you said something, you can be in the waters and be what? And be waterproof. So because you see, the more righteousness is revealed to you, it should be showing in your mind. It should be showing in your judgment. The way you judge people. Say, no, we know man after the flesh. So there's a way we know men after flesh. So you want to choose sister, it is after the flesh. You want to choose brother. What are the judgment, what are the scales that you are using? The scales you are using to make decisions. What are the scales? Is it according to God's righteousness or your own carnal mind? You know, some of us want to pick brother like this. I've seen the future of the brother. If I take this one to my house, people tell me, where you pick this one from? Maybe I'm from a bubbling, high-class family. And then you know, I see the brother, and I put you go. O-N-D. And he says, he's got, forget. If, like, that's how you say, when the brother is even coming around about, you say, what is it now? What? You say we should define it. What is it? It's not, the brother is not anything to you. It's because you have seen it. This one, I cannot use it to glory. He does not give me a clothes. You know, some of us, we want to preach brother. I want a brother that will give you clothes. Like we said, what you shall wear. So that when they say, oh, who is this? Oh, peace, my brother. His name is James Benro. You know that James self. So it's James. Where does he work? He works in, just guess. Actually, he works with Siemens. So sometimes he's 3 months in Nigeria, sometimes 3 months in the UK. You know, it's just like, say clothes, say glory. So some of us, we have this carnal mind of judging life, of judging people. Even the way you interact with people in church, rich people, they are your friend. That the ones you go and greet. I want to come and greet you. Where should I come? Church, come and greet you. The ones that know that when you go there, there's only water they will give you. And you cannot borrow money from there. You don't go and greet them. You know that when you go to that, it's prayer you will pray. But also another, if I die, I need money, I say, Bro Williams, no. And so when Bro Williams is doing bed, then I say, thank you for all you do. Another a long epistle. Oh, Bro Williams. Oh, I thank the Lord for all the works he has worked in your life. As I listen to the Lord, as Akiniko, I can see you. Oh, you are, all those things running away from my head now. I can see you becoming like him. And thank you for all you do. We know where it is coming from. So, carnal mind. God wants to say that carnal mind is what? Enemy. God, it is an enemy. It cannot take the things of God. So, like that kind of sister that I told you that already has a kind of mind, or a brother that has, that is, he must have bonbon, must have this, must be tall, must be, already, that is, when he thinks about a wife, he cannot see every other thing, virtue of God, all those other ones, they're just secondary. That's the, it has to be deal. The Lord shall grant me the heart by heart desire. Is there anything wrong? I'm not saying I cannot grant you the heart desire. But that is the major thing. That kind of mind, sometimes God can grant you what you like. But if we peradventure, what God now brings his own righteousness, his own desire, because he has looked at your future and I feel this is the person that can, you can work together, you'll be able to inherit life. Let me bring this person. And the person doesn't fit into your own righteousness, then you cannot take it. When it is coming, you even bind it. Say, I reject it in the name of Jesus. I'm just using that little practical way. It is what? In enmity with God. You cannot even receive the counsel of God. So that's why God teach us Christ. Christ will go deal with all those carnal mindsets and thoughts, wash us. When we learn Christ, he deals with that carnal mind. Then he gives us a spiritual mind. You see, it is that spiritual mind. What is the one junction of faith that can now receive the next curriculum of receiving the righteousness of God? If you are carnal minded, you cannot receive the righteousness of God. There's a righteousness in Christ and there's a righteousness in the Father. The Father is a burning fire. Say a burning fire. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 32. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Verse 2. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Verse 3. The heights of those who see will not be dim. Isaiah 33. Verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Faithfulness assists the hypocrites. So Zion, like Pastor said, in Zion, we still have what? Sinners. We still have some natures that are not yet fully God's righteousness. So he said, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Faithfulness assists the hypocrites. So, and this is what they are in Zion. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? For the Lord is what? A devouring word, fire. Said, who among us shall dwell with everlasting what? Burnings. Who is the person that will do that? Let's look at verse 15. Said, he who walks what? Righteously. And does what? Speak uprightly. He who despises the gain of oppression, who gestures with his hand refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Said, that kind of man will dwell on high. His place of defense will be fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. It's those kind of people that can now do verse 17. Said, your eyes will see the king in his what? Building. In his beauty. So they will see the land that is what? Very far off. So, high thoughts of God, deep thoughts of God, high ways of God cannot be, he has to be given to people that still have certain natures, they cannot receive it. Those things need to be first of all, say for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. Those things need to first of all be taken away for us to be able to access God's thoughts. Let's quickly go to Isaiah chapter 32 and then we will round up. Say, behold, the king will reign in righteousness and princes will rule in justice. Also, the heights of those who see will not be dim. So when a king is reigning in righteousness, when righteousness is being dissipated, what happens is that the eyes of those who see will not be dim. You'll be able to see clearly. Said, and that is when righteousness has come to a place of reigning. Like Pastor was describing to us yesterday, when grace has become abundance, darkness is taken away. Says, the eyes of those who see. So that means they are already seeing, but they are not seeing well. They are seeing what? Dimly. But when grace abounds, when righteousness multiplies, what happens? Said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of our God. So when those things are multiplied, when righteousness increases, when doctrine is coming upon doctrine and things are being revealed, what happens is that those that see, they will not see dimly. Said, and those who hear will listen. Also the heart of the rash will understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak what? Plainly. So the foolish person will no longer be called generous. So before somebody that is foolish, people will say that person is generous because people don't have right standards. So the way they judge things, there's a way we just say, that person, as far as God is concerned, is foolish. But when we see the person, we say, this person is a very generous person. So God is saying that when king reigns in righteousness, just like Psalm 110, he said, in the days of his power, his people shall be what? Willing. It's the volunteers. People will willingly give themselves. So you see, that is the day where they begin to judge unrighteousness. Said, the foolish person will no longer be called generous, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the foolish person will speak foolishness, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord, to keep the hungry unsatisfied, and will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. I want us to jump to verse 10. So there are things that does not allow us to respond to God, to seek the Lord. So they now say that in a year and some days, in that season, when righteousness is reigning, when righteousness is being revealed, said, this is what will happen. Said, in a year and some days, you will be troubled, you complacent woman. Said, for the vintage will fail, the gatherings will not come. So there are certain things that we gain from this world that does not allow us to seek God, that keeps us complacent. You know, like if you read Revelation, you will see Babylon. Babylon sits upon many waters. What am I trying to say? In the day of his power, two things happen. God judges his enemies and he brings salvation to his people. So part of the display of his power is to destroy those things that don't allow us to respond to God, to seek God first. to set our hearts above. So you can see this complacent person. What is making them complacent? The vintage ni. What's in what you dada? So now say that in that day, in that year, in that season. So some of you will leave this place. Certain things that brings you satisfaction that does not make you to see God. God will begin to judge it. So don't say it is Satan. This is God doing you. And he's doing you so that you can do righteousness. Know that God can do you. When God loves you, he will do you so that you can. He will do you so that you can. He will judge things. How did you think that the children of Israel left Egypt? Did you feel that they did not live just easily like that? God had to judge Egypt. He brought plagues to judge them. He touched their body. He touched their economy. He touched their environment. He touched their power to reproduce when he killed their first son. Because that is their ability. When you kill somebody's first son, that's what reproduces. That is how you guarantee that the kingdom is reproduced. God has to knock all those things off for God's people to be able to leave Egypt. So there are things that hold us bound. You know, like Pastor was saying that today, that we need to first of all be delivered from our own people before they can even send us as a rod. So the first of all, even use rod inside us before we now become a rod that can be used in the nation. So I'm telling you that in this mountain, as you have come for this Image and Glory conference, this will be judged. This will be judged. Like I said last week, this is a season whereby if you look at Revelation chapter 15, that was gone. You will see that when God was going to judge Babylon, Revelation 15, he said, and I saw a great and marvelous sign. What did he see? Seven angels with seven bowls carrying plagues, wrath of the Lord. And if you look at those plagues also, what were those plagues touching? He touched water. He touched rivers. He touched their skin. That, like the boil they gave them in Egypt. He touched people like that. God brought hail. That was how God judged Babylon. So I'm telling you that in this season, when the Lord is reigning, one of the things that will happen, God will begin to judge systems of this world. Systems that do not allow people to serve him. Things that don't allow us to respond to God. You know, some of us, we are just complacent. When it comes to the things of God, we are just flat. There are things that need to be judged in us. And I believe that as we have come into this mountain, those things are going to be judged. So let's quickly rush down. He said, tremble you women who are at ease. Say, be troubled, you complacent ones. Just strip yourself, make yourself bare, and guard sackcloth on your waist. People shall mourn upon their breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars. Yes, on all the happy homes, the joyous city, because the palaces will be forsaken. The bustling city will be deserted. The fort and the tower will become lost forever. A joy of wild donkey, a pasture of... These are things that people delighted in at the expense of God. So he said that in that day, when kings begin to reign, in the day of his power, his people shall be weak. Not only the people he reigning, the Lord will also send forth a rod to destroy his enemies. Things that make people complacent, that they don't want to respond to God. Things in our life that just makes us complacent. Say God will begin to judge those things. Then verse 15, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness will now become what? This wilderness is in the things of God. Now becomes what? A fruitful field. And the fruitful field is counted as what? A forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fruitful. So the work of righteousness will be what? Peace. So that man has been led what? In peace. So the kingdom of God is not in me, I just said, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So those people, so in that day of his power, when righteousness is being unfolded, men will come into this place. Said the just thing for a man is for a man to be righteous. Say justice will say. So when you think about it, say righteousness and justice are the foundation of you. What is just for a man is that for a man to be seeking God's kingdom, seeking his righteousness, doing his righteousness, completing it is just for a man in his lifetime to live for him, live through all the curriculums that the Lord has allocated for man, and to come out in full salvation, seated with him on his throne. Can we rise up on our feet this morning? I just want you to pray to the Lord. So I want you to believe God. You see, in this meeting, I want you to pray that you would experience salvation, that the Lord will bring judgment, those things that hold us bound, that do not allow us to respond to God as we ought to, that in this mountain they will be judged, that as his righteousness is revealed, those things will be judged. Can you lift up your voice and pray? Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. That a plan will come, that in this mountain sin will be judged. Death will be judged. That our grace will be made open. Amen. Amen. I want you to God started speaking to me. When Patrick was preaching yesterday, and I was looking at that picture, and I was saying that a company, and no, that issue of a company, and I was looking at God, that how will you raise a company? A company of people that have become, because I was just seeing it, a company of people that have become a rod. I know what God said. Not the scripture that we used to quote, that with God all things are possible. Do you know that scripture was in the context of salvation? Let's quickly look at that scripture before we pray. It is in the context of what? Salvation. Let's look at Matthew 19:25-26, still standing. I want you to look at it. You know, there was that man that came to him, that what shall I do to inherit eternal land? God said, go and sell all that you have. And the guy went back sorrowful. And then Jesus said, it is difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom, to enter into dominion of righteousness. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The eye of a needle, say in Israel, there is a place called eye of a needle. Said it is very low. When camels are coming, they have to remove all the loads on them, and the camel has to crawl inside, go down and enter. So God said, then his disciple heard it, and they were going greatly astonished and said, who then can be saved? Then God now said, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, salvation looks impossible. Is it possible indeed that man should be sinless and deathless? Is it indeed possible that man should overcome and sit with God? You look at yourself, you know, sinless and deathless. And the king said, oh God, devil, no. Let me just enter heaven. But God is saying that, that was what I said, that who then can be saved? And just said, with God. With men, this is impossible. But what? With God. All things. And all things are what? All things are of God. Said with God, all things are what? Possible. Do you have faith for this thing this morning? Do you have faith that you can come to a place in which your heart will be seeking after righteousness, that you will do righteousness, you will finish it, that this thing will not remain as a doctrine, it will become a conversation. Just like what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear has become a conversation that man is used to, that it will come to a point that what is his riches of his inheritance? What is his calling? What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Becomes our conversation. It has transformed from being a prayer to become an expression in our lives. How many of you believe these things? Such things he's saying, that with God, these things shall be possible. There was only one scripture. Lastly, let's look at Isaiah chapter 41. Yes, and I was in this scripture yesterday, and you know, and I look at God. Say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Verse 11. I want you to look at this. Say, behold, all those who were incensed against you. You know, what are those that are incensed against man? Sin and death. Said, all. You know, that was what I was saying first. He said, we should take away all malice. Sometimes you can say, God, how can I take away all hypocrisy? Pornography is still worrying me. Today, I get over it. Tomorrow, I don't get over it. And those things look like things that are difficult to get away from. Anger. Hypocrisies. You cannot just be transparent. You live dual life. And you cannot just help yourself. So God is saying that all these things, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, all of these things that are enemies, that do not allow us to please God, to offer sacrifices to God. Taking back to that scripture. So God said, that scripture, we have used it when we were in Pentecost. We used it for Ogundile Baba, Ogundile Ya, Ogundile Ogunle, Ogunabele. We put all of them together. All enemies, God said, those enemies, they are sin and death, natures that are counter righteousness. He said, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. That they shall be as what? Nothing. And those who strive with you shall what? Perish. Now, there's a point where I'm going. He said, you shall so. There's a time that you will seek them. You will seek them and not what? Find them. Do you believe these things? Hey! You will see. No, there was a time there was no sin on earth. Sin came in. The time that sin was not in existence. He came, and God is saying that there's a time that there will be no sin anymore. There will be no death anymore. Oh my dear, oh my God. So you shall seek them and not find that weakness. Masturbation, you will seek it, you will find it no more. So those who contended with you, the church that have contended with you, you know that Israel, what is it, Jacob, he contended, not the way he contended, things that have contended, natures that you have battled with, you have struggled with. Said, those who contended with you, those who war against you, not just to say that things that war in our members, the things that war in our members, unrighteousness, natures that war in our members, that you will cry. You will say, who shall be as what? Nothing. I like to say, as a what? That's the place I like. As a what? Non what? Existent thing. So there's a state in which you will come that there will be no sin anymore. That there will be no death anymore. Sinlessness. Deathlessness. Do you believe these things? Say, for I, the Lord your God, we hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. How do they bring help? By revealing what? Righteousness. How do they bring help? Can you lift up your hands to heaven and say, God, I want to receive help on this mountain, these 7 days. Let me find help. Let me find help. Help, 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 help. Help in the spirit. Help in the spirit to judge sin, to judge death, to judge natures, to judge natures, to judge natures, to bring me into salvation.
Words has spirit. Words is life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed.